The Speed of Divorce by Grant McFarlane.
Nothing travels faster than the speed of light, with the possible exception of bad news, which obeys its own special laws, or rather, rules. For I am not suggesting that there is a court that makes judgment on bad news. How could they determine what indeed is good or bad? For surely, what is bad to me may well be good to you, particularly if you were to be one of those who enjoy seeing harm inflicted on another. In which case, good news for me would surely be agony for you, would it not? Indeed, if I were then to choose to perceive bad news as good, for I, like you, revel in schadenfreude, then you may well be in a state of everlasting agony. The time frame, of course, dependent on how much bad news I were to receive, and indeed how quick it would be for me to receive it. To which, in this case, such news has came alarmingly quickly from its inceptual cause. Jonathan places the notebook on the caramel cords and gazes upwards upon his mother's third favourite chandelier. Sitting motionless against the buttoned burgundy of the wing-back chair for some time before, in a gracefully synchronised swoop, he removes both his pocket square and tortoiseshell glasses, breathing gently as he pushes his thumb against the silk and guides it around the circular frames before laying them down upon her diary. It was not yet 7.5 months since his mother's death, and Jonathan was still getting used to living in the baroque mansion, her will stupefyingly bequeathed to him, along with her diaries and unpublished works. He considered himself the black sheep of the family, his prosaic, studious nature not in fitting with the prestigiously rarefied intellects of his parents and siblings, where they would work to redefine entire industries and break cultural norms. He found solace from the burden of his family's wealth as a lecturer in the nearby Faculty of Divinity. Thus far in his readings, it would appear she had realised that he would do little to alter this generation's old heirloom, as opposed to his sisters turning it into a headquarters for one of their companies or for some other repugnantly debased pursuit. Somewhat foolishly, you misinterpreted confidentiality with friendship. In this case, there is in fact a court that would make a judgment but one dearth of legitimacy, due to the very confidentiality that you had thought would stop Sir Montefiore from telling me of your rancid debacle. For to be bound by the laws pertaining to the confidentiality of the trust would mean neither you nor he could confirm whether or not your insipid conversation took place. Perhaps this would be covered by the aforementioned special laws of bad news, whereby it could be shown that if your request had been for my embetterment, then such good news wouldn't have warranted a call from Sebastian to myself, and as such would have travelled slower than the speed of light, so to speak. I posit this as hypothesised proof, and will come back to the study at a later point. For now, I shall keep my thoughts on Anglesey House, and its symbolism in my revenge for your uncouth petty greed. Jonathan was able to recant large swathes of the Torah in Hebrew from memory, and yet he struggled with each passage of his mother's indeterminable diary. Leaving the library to mount the staircase to his bedroom, he decided he would finish this salient period of his mother's streams of thought before his sisters join him for lunch tomorrow.